All right, and we are back. This is Pawning Nails, starring Daniel, your host, and my very talented producer, Jamie, who's with me as always.
Hello.
And the star of the show, Lenny Dykstra. Lenny,
I'm not a star. I'm just a featured. I'm featuring.
You are the nails of Pawning Nails, so without you, there is no show.
In the back of a fucking pawn shop.
In the back of a fucking pawn shop. I rent it. But today we have Aubrey Huff. Very, very, very controversial guy who's outspoken, and actually I'm excited for this interview, looking forward to it. Don't know what he's going to say. Hey, Aubrey, what's going on?
Hello.
This is Dan and Jamie and Lenny.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Good to be on.
Aubrey, my name is Dan, and like I said, this is Jamie, and this is Pawning Nails. I own 9 pawn shops in New Jersey, and I met Lenny, and I'm in love with the honesty that he brings. And he and I spent a couple of years hanging out and working together, and I started this podcast with him to get an honest opinion for people that have something a little bit different to say, and we just wanted to say thank you.
The people that don't give a shit. I love it.
You know, you said it, not me. It's not the people who give a shit. It's just like the bar has been raised or lowered, whichever one you want to put it. And I think that I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of people pulling punches, and I think that I'm personally excited for it. When we start this thing, I just wanted to tell you that if there's something you don't feel comfortable with, I know that, you know, you might still have some sort of like you want a playing career, because we're definitely going to go into cheating and a lot of stuff. If you don't feel comfortable talking about it, just be honest. Just say, you know what, let's just skip this one. All right.
Yeah. Whatever, man. I'm up in anything. You can't cuss on this. I would imagine that it's like
you can say you can fucking shit. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay, it's my podcast. How are you gonna talk without being okay? So one thing that I just wanted to say is we know that. We know that you had a very long and storied playing career, but you're really on this show because we feel that we can get a real opinion on what's going on. Before we go into all the madness and everything, what is going on with the cheating scandal, and what on earth is your opinion of what's going on?
Oh, man. You know what? Honestly, I got to be since I retired in 2012, the only time I ever watch baseball is when there's controversial shit going on, and obviously – This is one of them.
Sounds like fucking me, Dan.
I mean, who gives a shit? I mean, it's gotten way too, too much technology, too many bat slipping, just kids out there, and just it's gross. I can't watch it. But for me, you know, Lenny's an old school guy. I'm an old school guy. I play with your boy Pat Burrell in Philly. Lenny, I'm sure you guys ran into each other.
We had some fraternity suits together.
And, you know, I'm just seeing what happened with this whole cheating scandal. And, you know, Lenny, I mean, when you coming in, I came out of college, University of Miami with Pat Burrell, and that's where we learned how to steal signs, picking up pitchers tells and getting on second base and relay and shit. We did that in college, and then every college team does that. You learn that at a young age, and you get to the big leagues, nothing changes. You're still trying to pick up these tips. You're still trying to steal signs from second, but
it's ridiculous.
Yeah. But when you start getting into technology and to where the game is getting infiltrated today, when you have guys in the All-Star game doing interviews in the outfield with technology, just to me, it's fucking ridiculous. And you start cheating the game in that way. I'm not a big fan of using technology to cheat. If you catch a fair advantage the right way, great. Because if you're not cheating in the game, you're not trying. But when you start using technology and stuff like that, then you're taking food off people's plate. It's fucking bullshit.
It's not pure. It's not pure. It's not natural.
I guess. Right. I guess. Let me be a little bit more specific when I ask. I ask a very open-ended question, and that's like the worst way to start. Let me be more specific. Before you came on the line, me, Lenny, and Jamie, we kind of started talking about it. And one thing that I notice is, do you think it's weird that Major League Baseball voluntarily leaked this information, and is kind of like self-flogging itself right before the start of the season? And that's what I kind of wanted to ask you. What is the reason for all of this, in your opinion?
Yeah.
What the fuck are they doing?
I don't know why Major League Baseball would do that, but I will say this. It's kind of fucked up in the sense that, okay, so Alex Cora takes a dive. AJ Hinch gets fired. The GM for the Astros gets canned. All these people are going down, but I guarantee you it was probably the player's idea. You know, and these guys were going along with it just as much as anybody, and nobody touches the players. Now, I don't know what kind of penalty that would be, whether or not you take away like playoff bonuses or you fine them or suspend them for, but the fact that some of these players that knew it, to me, it's just, ridiculous that all these people are taking the fall and the players are the one that are on the field and producing the product.
Well,
so,
I mean, you know, what's ridiculous, though, is the way they've blown this up to make it almost like a Black Sox scandal. I mean, nobody talks about the fact that Major League Baseball itself made the baseballs. Okay, look, you played, and by the way, let's not get past, let's not forget. We're talking about a two-time World Series champion here. And by the way, he won the most coveted and the most respected award there is, and that's called the Silver Slugger Award, okay, 2008.
Lenny, here we go.
I was fortunate enough to win one of those in 93. And what that is all the players vote, and that is the nine best players in both leagues. So that is, and I'll be able to tell you, that's an honor and a privilege to be named on that team there. You know?
Well, yeah, and I got mine as a designated hitter, so you better fucking hit.
Awesome, though.
Well, yeah. My question is that as far as the controversy, and this is why I really wanted you on the show, do you feel that there's something about, you know, as you know, problems sell tickets. People want to see a show. They don't want to see the same monotony. Baseball has been going down a very dark cyclical road of this. You know, they got a lot of foreign players coming in. You've got a lot of what is going on here. You got the same thing over and over again. Last year, the football scandal, 2 years ago, the Colin Kaepernick thing. You know, say what you will about football, but it has just become every year more and more entertaining. And I think that the off-the-field issues have become just as big of a thing. Do you feel that there's a part of this where this is almost feels staged in order to bring more of a show to the show?
Well, I don't think it's staged from the Major League Baseball standpoint, but I just think we live in a world of technology where you get instant information. Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody has, you know, their phones in their hands at any given second. So if you're a player in today's game, I don't care whether it's the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, you know, all these young kids now, they have access to phones. And I can't imagine, Lenny, can you imagine the shit we pulled when we were younger going out with cell phones? I mean, we couldn't do it.
I still go through it, dude, with my chicks. I still got to go through a lot of volume. I'm single.
Aubrey, you're a pretty young guy, dude.
I'm single, too.
Aubrey's like in his early 40s.
Turn your phone off, okay? That's it. Turn your phone off, okay?
Yep.
That's another rule. No, rule number two is don't tell me to pull your fucking hair. Don't tell me to fucking choke you. You put your finger near my ass, I break it off. Okay?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
This is what we got.
You haven't lived unless you had a lady stick one finger in your ass. You got to give it a whirl one time.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, this is why we love Aubrey. Hey. Keeps it real right here.
Listen, I got to the big leagues, and you know, in the big leagues, you get a real physical. So the team doctor, the motherfucker Pearl Harbored me, dude. And didn't put enough of that, whatever it is, lube.
Come on, Lenny, you know what it is. Say it, lube.
Finger off, dude.
I've never had a finger of male in my ass, you know, even for a physical. But I have had the doctor have me turn and choke before, and that's an odd feeling.
Yeah, that was bad.
Oh, yeah, well-timed female finger up your ass during orgasm can take you to a place you've
never
been before.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. This guy, Aubrey Huff, has the answers. I'm telling you that this is not a random guest here. The man has a lot of wealth and insight. Now, when we go back, let's take a little finger in ass. We'll come back to. Don't think that there's not a topic we don't enjoy talking about. We love fingers and asses, but we really, really need to know a little bit more about your opinion as to what's going on in the state of baseball and what are the ramifications. Where do you see this season playing out? I looked at the line, and it's a very.
Let's not talk too much about baseball. Let's talk about what this guy's a fucking. This guy's like. I mean. This is a guy that he's got his boys training to shoot guns, you know.
Well, we're gonna get into this, Lenny. We're gonna get into this in a second.
That fucking gets me,
Lenny.
Fucking hard.
We're gonna get into this. We're gonna get into this in a second. I just want to wrap this up. I really want to hear Aubrey's opinion of where he sees the season playing out. Are the Astros completely fucked?
I would like to see how good of a hitter Altuve really is, and you know, like this guy George Springer in the playoffs. Yeah, he's a talented player, but my God, he turns into Reggie Jackson or Babe Ruth in the playoffs. It's like I'd like to see how these guys actually really hit without a little help. Now, I'm not saying they've done it all year, but I would lead me to believe if you did it in the playoffs, I'm pretty sure you did a lot of it during the season as well. And, you know, it's funny how a lot of these guys, you know, you have a lot of these Astros players, they're heavy, you know, like social media, Twitter guys, Instagram, the Bregmans and Verlanders. They've been kind of quiet the last yeah, right? month.
People are so scared. Nobody wants it because nobody wants to put their shit out there. Aubrey, throw out some names. Who do you know is a known cheater that gets like, for example, I hate Tom Hanks. Everyone loves Tom Hanks. I've met Tom Hanks. I don't want to get into it. The guy is the biggest fraud and phony you can imagine. Not a big deal. Put some people out there. Who do you feel is a straight up cheater and or douchebag, but gets like one of those like air of Lenny and I talk about this. What do we call them, Lenny?
What? The like, pussies? What,
no, like the like Mr. P's, like the guys that are like,
oh,
you know.
Mr. P, yeah.
Aubrey, who do you think is like a cheater that you've played with?
I don't, you know, I honestly can't tell you, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, it's, When you look around the league, the guys I played with, I mean, obviously the A-Rod thing, when that knuckleball or whatever came out on the Netflix documentary series, I always knew the guy, you know, he'd get on first base and it was almost like talking to a phony politician. It was really uncomfortable. Didn't, you know, nothing was real. You know, it was always sounded scripted, robotic. And then you get on, you see this documentary series and you realize just how much of a cheater he really was. Not only a cheater, but throwing your own teammates under the bus. And that's fucked up. And now what's even worse, the guy's making more money on TV and endorsements and shit than he ever did playing baseball, which is absolutely insane. It's almost like we forget the shit that he pulled when he played.
Yeah, and he's fucking J-Lo.
Aubrey, nobody. Yeah. No, he's not fucking J-Lo. Guys, that's all fake. Hold on a second. Before I go into why that is the biggest sham in the world, but Aubrey, what are you talking about? Fake people never make it on television. Why would he be good at it? I mean, come on. What are you talking about?
That's right. It's fake news everywhere.
Yeah, what are you talking about? He's the most genuine thing in the world. Look, here's the thing, okay? His relationship with J-Lo is completely fake, okay? That is bullshit. She is colder than the inside of a freezer, okay? The woman is half dead inside. She has no interest in doing anything except staring at herself in the mirror. If you guys don't know that, I'll tell you. And
well,
as far as he is,
you don't think he's fucking her,
dude? You know what they do? They walk into a room and they fart and they smell each other's farts. That's what they do. They're like, oh, look, I'm J-Lo and look, I'm A-Rod. Oh my God, look at us. Look at our fart smell today. No.
I don't know, dude. I gotta believe he's going in.
No way. So, what do you, Aubrey, you think that's a real relationship or you think publicists put it together?
Well, I think the only reason he really wanted to go to New York was because he saw what Derek Jeter was doing, had all the fame and all the women and things like that. Now, you know, Alex is coming from a marriage with two kids, and then hey, you know what? Derek is getting all this attention. I want to go to New York. And
Jeter, though, bro, he was in the weeds. He got a lot of pussy. He was able to hide that shit in New York for years.
I think the reason
I think
too
he's
is
single.
You know this, man. The more you can kiss ass to the media and make them your boy, and you're you know, the better off you're going to be. And I don't care how, like Jason Giambi, I think he was like a master at it too. People knew he went out and partied, but you know, no, he never got into trouble because he just gave the media, he's cool with them, gave them what they wanted.
I love Jason.
But the minute you start becoming a dick and you're going out there to the media and then you're still going out there and partying, they're going to fucking rail you. And Jeter was a master at just giving every single reporter what they wanted, what they needed, gave them an answer. Went out there and
teammates didn't like him.
Did you have a hard time playing that game? How do you think your career would have been somewhat different or better or worse if you could, you know, like suck dick a little bit better to the reporters?
You know what? I was pretty, like I said, I cupped and swallowed and everything.
Yeah. What are you talking about? I got a 19-year career.
In 2010, I actually did in San Francisco, won the Good Guy Award for the media. They gave me a trophy and everything. I was the Media Good Guy Award in 2010 when we won the World Series. So
won Time Man of the Year in like 1937. People look back at it. Aubrey Huff wins the Good Guy. I mean, I don't think you're a bad guy. I think that you have an opinion, and I think that that's why I have you on the show is because I'm a big proponent of the Fourth Amendment.
Balls is what he's got. He's not hiding like these other pussies out there. I can't take them, man.
Well, that's where the whole world lives and hides. That's why the world is riddled with anxiety and depression nowadays, is because people are fucking afraid to say what they want. And they're suppressing all their opinions and all their emotions. And I got to tell you guys, you know, you probably researched me a little bit. I struggle with anxiety and depression after baseball a little bit because, you know, you go from this awesome life and you're saying what you want. You're with the boys. You're talking shit. And then you get in the real world, and then you kind of you realize the regular world doesn't work that way, and you try to be politically correct, and you start like being, hey, how are you, sir? And you don't really talk shit. I let that happen to me for a couple of years after I retired, and I'm like, dude, I fell into like this deep, dark hole, got anxiety. Yeah. And then before you know it, I said, fuck this. I just started being myself,
and it went away. You wrote a book. In fact, you talked all about it in your book, how you battle with depression and stuff.
Yeah, you just, you don't be yourself, you'll fucking find yourself in that hole.
So you sound really good. I mean, like, you know, mentally and stuff like that. Do you think that being open and honest with your political and your personal views has been a big contributing factor to your positive mental state?
1,000%. You know, and I'm a conservative Christian guy from Texas. And, you know, the thing is, too, I can, you know, afford to do things like that, too, because I, you know, I do a little podcast on the side from time to time. I'm heavy on Twitter, but I don't have like what you would call a 9-to-5 grinding job. And I feel like there's people out there that want to say what they want to say, but then fear of the way the liberal left is killing people nowadays. If you have an opinion, if you support Trump, you're fired. And so they got families to feed, bills to pay, and you know, so they silence themselves, and it's just like this darkness over them because they can't be who they really are, and they're just pretending to be somebody they're not. So it's a shitty world we live in, this politically correct bullshit.
No, I 100% agree with that. See, now I'm not a Trump supporter at all. Being from the tri-state area, I don't exactly agree with many.
You fucking communist.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, no,
exactly.
Shit, Dan. You didn't tell me that. You're not a Trump supporter. But, what are we going to do, vote for Hillary fucking no, Clinton? Fuck.
No, but I basically, like,
I would have moved to fucking, I would have moved to fucking, no, I just Somalia hate, before I fucking, this kind of, that
so
bitch
I,
is president.
I was born in Moscow, Russia. So I didn't come here until I was 6-7 years old. So I actually appreciate this country for what it is. And if I lived in Russia, I would be dead many years ago for the way my mouth works. But that's why I love this country. And I think that before Trump became president, I didn't really care about it too much. But I love that people are standing up and having a voice. And I like that you have and you're honest and open about it. And it's not that you don't give a fuck. It's just that I feel like you have to be more almost
no,
like
I
crazy.
Do give a fuck. That's why I talk about it. You look at the way, I mean, these leftists, they're trying to silence everybody. It wasn't like that before Trump. And because their candidate, true. Hillary, lost, they go on this big fucking shit baby crybaby fest. And now everything is complaining and trying to shut down people that voted for him. It's
they made Carter Page, my attorney represents him, so I know all about it. They made him a Russian spy.
I think Hillary Clinton is just a horrible person. I think she reminds me. I know a lot of people are going to be like, Daniel, why would you say this? I'm not saying anything about my political views. I'm just saying she just reminds me of the cuntiest, like, worst guidance counselor that I had in middle school who, like, just – she just, like, no matter what I did, I just knew that she just was a miserable, miserable person at home. And, like,
don't call killer, too.
Yeah,
don't,
no, she was just, like,
killer.
A miserable person. That's all I'm saying. I think that – I think, like I said, I like Mike Bloomberg. I don't really, you know, I'm not only because don't go off on me. I'm just saying I don't hate him as much as I hate Hillary.
Well, I mean, how can you not like the guy? The guy's he's a Republican, he's a Democrat, he's whatever he has to be to try to win.
Well, listen, let's not go
but
off.
What I love about Trump is he's not a career politician. He's kind of like the way Lenny and I am. We just say what we want to say. And you know where you're going to get from Trump. And I love him on Twitter because people are like, shut the fuck up on Twitter. No, on Twitter
is
the only time we're going to get really what's going on and what he's thinking. Because everybody else is going to twist it around what he's thinking, what he's saying. CNN's going to fuck it up.
It's so entertaining.
I love reading what he said on Twitter.
It is so entertaining. We'll never get another president that is as entertaining as Trump. Like, that's the part where everyone is going to, next president is just going to hear crickets. It's going to be like so awkward.
You're going to miss him.
Yeah. You're not, you don't even know who you're going to have. That's the thing. I'm not.
Teammates, it'd have been scary, dude.
Jamie, what is your?
We've probably been dead,
bro. Here we go. No. We got it. Jamie, she's a Democrat, and I got to hear her opinion. You know, Aubrey, you got to listen to opinions, right? It sounds like you're a level-headed guy.
100%.
Jamie, what is? I mean, you're listening to this. You got three very strong-minded people. Come on, stop laughing. Say what you think. Do you like Donald Trump?
I don't.
You don't like Donald.
That's why I'm sitting here quietly.
Why? The whole point of the show is to speak up. What? Why? Why don't you like him? Give me a real contrarian.
I just think
contrarian. He's obtuse.
Obtuse. Yeah, I mean, and the things he says, I just don't agree with.
That's the part that you don't agree with.
Yeah, it bothers
and,
me.
And Jamie, here's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and try and argue with you and try and change your mind for Trump. That will never happen. I'm here, you know, I'm just here to stand for my beliefs. And you want to, if you don't like Trump, I don't give a flying fuck. But I'm not going to be silenced by people who try to tell me that I can't be a Trump supporter. Right. That's my thing.
But Jamie,
that makes sense.
But you're saying that I want to hear what is about Donald Trump that really, really turns you off.
It was the grab her by the pussy thing. Is that what got you?
I'm looking at Jamie right in the eyes.
No.
And she's like smiling. What is it? I want to hear from a. And Jamie's not Aubrey. Just so you know, she's not like a bleeding heart liberal. She's a very level headed person. What is it about him that really turns you off?
I don't. think he's like the epitome of like that preppy white guy from the East Coast who just is born with a silver spoon in his mouth and thinks he knows better than any. And
well, that's actually,
his opinion is the only thing that counts. And it just bothers the shit out of me.
You like his weave? What about his weave?
Oh, it's terrible. All right.
Well, we're going to go back. We're going to go back.
Into Hey, Trump's a fucking gamer, dude. This guy's smarter than all these fuckers combined.
Lenny, there's a different perspective to it, but we're going to get into the political stuff in a little bit. It sounds I'm really enjoying this thing with Aubrey. I really want to ask you, Aubrey, what is your opinion on the coaching, the new female coaches that have really become the highlight of not only the Super Bowl, because I think there's a female coach right now for the San Francisco 49ers, but as well as obviously the Giants.
Well, I think with the Giants case, that's a publicity thing to get butts in the seats, to be more progressive. You know, obviously San Francisco is the biggest liberal city in the world.
Yeah, I said that.
And, you know, when they're bringing her in, they know their 2020 is going to be shitty. They're going to be 60 and 102 or whatever. They're just not going to have a good year. They've lost Bumgarner. And so they're going to bring somebody in to kind of take away from that. And, you know, I've heard all these rumblings and shit about, you know, the 2010, we won the World Series and we got the 10-year reunion coming up for the 2010 World Series. And I made a tweet, and I'm sure you guys saw it, about me not agreeing with having a woman in a Major League Baseball clubhouse teach. I mean, I know she played college softball, but it's not the same. Could you imagine Lenny being a hitter in the big leagues and having a girl out of college trying to tell you how to hit a 96 mile fastball on the inside corner?
First thing I do is fuck her. Okay. Okay. See, that's the first thing I.
Well, but she's more like when you call. I mean, who is a slump buster? Was that what you would call it, or what?
Yeah, you know, like, you know, that's a look lefter. You got to look left, dude. You know, look fucking left. It's like, but the thing is, though, the thing about from the girl's standpoint is she's a heterosexual. She likes guys. What a dream job! All those fucking cocks she gets to look at.
I don't know.
Well, actually,
I made a tweet like I got in trouble in 2010. Because I wore I was running around naked in the clubhouse too much when female reporters were there. I'm like, well, fuck you. This is my clubhouse. If you don't like it, don't be in here. Right? And so now you got a girl in there full time. Now here's my question too. I mean, like, you're in the coaching staff. You know the coaching staff's locker room. They're separate. You got about seven coaches in there. Now, Lenny, these guys, what if you have to get out of there to your family, want to go home? You got to wait till she's done showering, just so you can go in there and shower the other six or seven male coaching staff. So, and you know how fucking long it takes a woman to shower. I'd be pissed off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's definitely different. But Frisco is definitely the place they would start. But good call on the reason why. It's all marketing. Everything's about selling. Everything's selling.
Yeah, you guys really believe that? It's very interesting because women, there's a lot of women that love sports. Everybody knows this. I mean, everybody loves to watch, especially the big games and everything like that. And I don't know if women, like the female sports fans, were ever just like, well, I wish there were more women in professional sports. I'm not sure if that's really like... Oh, Jamie, why are you nodding your head? It's a fucking podcast, Jamie. It doesn't work if you nod your head.
I agree. I don't
Aubrey, explain to Jamie how podcasts work.
Wish there were more women coaches.
Yeah, so what do you
do? I just think, like, for example, these people were...
Do you give them any points? Do they score any points with you?
Qualified for the job, and obviously the teams weren't doing well, so they needed to mix some things up and put some females in there.
We get shit done. The past 40 years, these guys have been playing baseball. They're saying she's not qualified.
Here. The problem is this. Look, when we got away from what a woman's job was to clean the house, cook the food, and fuck your husband. That's their fucking job.
Come on, Len. That's a little too much. I think Aubrey would even say that's a little too much.
In a little bit more correct way, yeah. I guess, or if you would say politically correctly, I agree with Lenny. In fact, think about this. How many divorces was there back in the 20s and 30s? It didn't fucking happen. Why? Because the man is a man. He's out. He's supposed to hunt and gather and provide for his family. And that's what he did. And the woman stayed home and raised the children. And it was a happy, you know, by and large, in most part, that's the way the male is supposed to be. And that's the way the female is supposed to be, as the nurturing, you know, there's masculinity and femininity. And nowadays, the guy is getting pushed aside and getting attacked, getting fucking divorce settlements, getting no custody of his kids. And he's turning into the bitch. And now the woman's turned into the guy, and the roles are reversed. Now we have fucking divorce rates over 50%, and we wonder what happened.
You're right,
Jamie. Hold on a second, guys.
So you guys lost me. So you're telling me that the divorce rates have gone up because women don't want to stay home and raise the kids and be housewives?
1,000%.
One million percent.
100%. I mean, this is their perspective. But I don't know if
Do divorces happen the most? In the workplace. Why? Because they always see each other at their best. That's why.
Well, I also think that I think a lot of guys have become really soft.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah, the reason why I'm saying this is, Aubrey, where do you live right now?
I'm in California, Southern California.
Dude, that's soft. But I mean, like, where did you grow up?
The biggest liberal cesspool
That's your soft. Hey, Aubrey, so like, hold on a second. I have a real point here. Aubrey, you have kids? You have boys, right?
Yes, he has two boys.
You have two boys, right? That thing with the Twitter thing with the guns, right? Yep, that was 11 and 9. Yep. So you have two boys, 11 and 9. I have two boys, exactly 4 and 6. So we have two boys exactly the same age. So meaning like the distance is apart, right? You follow me on this one? So you go to school. Tell me, do your kids go to private school or public school?
No, they go to public school. The public schools here are pretty good.
Exactly. Same thing. I'm in North Jersey. I'm in a good town. You know, thank God. Things are
Dad's
okay.
Rich, Aubrey.
Shut
rich.
Up, Lenny. So I go into this school, and I'm telling you right now that the other guys are such pussies. And I actually want them to listen. And all of you other guys that I'm calling you a pussy, go ahead, punch me in the face in the locker room. I don't care. I'm just telling you, a lot of guys have gotten soft, especially when it comes to, you know, liberal areas and things like that. So the women, when you guys talk about women becoming more and more empowered, I think that it's a two-way street. I think there's a lot of soft guys out there. If you want to talk about, I mean, you guys are loud and talkative, and maybe myself. I'm just saying, that's all. My perspective is shit's fucked up.
The bottom line is, look, everybody's, it's all about fear. It's fear. Fear.
What's fear?
They're afraid to speak to their mind. And that's why 80% of the American people, here's their life. My husband gets up, goes to his shitty job, gets in his car, goes back to his miserable wife.
But what does that have to do with coaching?
They don't fuck. He gets up in the morning and does it again.
Why can't, like, for basketball, who was the Pat Summitt? Remember Pat Summitt? She was a big, I think, Tennessee Volunteers. Anyways, my point is that what the fuck does a coach even do, guys? Come on. You guys do all the work. Who gives a shit what sex the coach is?
I mean, honestly, if you really think about it, I mean, I played under a future Hall of Famer, Bruce Bochy, right? And Bruce Bochy, you know, if you really be honest, in the Yankees back in the day with Joe Torre, fuck, my mother could have coached that team. They were so talented.
Yeah, exactly.
But with Bruce Bochy, I got to be honest, man, he was a great strategist. Whenever, you know, the bullpen would come in, he knew how to work his bullpen. But more than that, though, he knew how to manage each and every individual personality in that clubhouse. There was a guy named Andres Torres. So this guy was balls to the wall, all over the place, sweetest guy in the world. He needed to be kind of cuddled to get the best out of him, and that's what Bruce would do. A guy like me needed to get his ass chewed out a little bit, and that's what he would do with me. And
Aubrey, right there. That tells you how smart he is, because managing in the big leagues is about getting and knowing how to motivate your players, incentivize them to want to play for you each night to win.
See, absolutely.
That's what managing. So you nailed it. You're the first.
So that's why women would be amazing
really
coaches.
What a manager's
that's all
job
we do
is.
For so who are, our whole life.
Hold on, let me finish. And that information he just gave you, that is the definition of what a real manager does. And speaking of Bochy, real quick, you're gonna love this, Aubrey. I played against him when he was with San Diego. Mm-hmm. When he's a backup catcher, and he's a huge, like, big dude. When he used to hit, the whole earth would shake when he'd run to the first base, dude. You know, he's so fucking he's huge. You know what I mean?
Well, he's got that head. It's in Cooperstown. When he goes into Cooperstown, he's gonna have the biggest head fucking statue hung up on the wall than anybody around there. I think it's like an 8.5 head. It's fucking ridiculous. It's unbelievable.
So anyway, Jamie, what's your opinion on our idea about the women? You know, about what do you think?
I mean, I think you guys, I think disagree.
What do you mean you disagree?
It really is. I disagree with you guys.
Well, you have to say why you disagree.
I think that's totally wrong. I think that there is still a large group of women who would love to stay home and take care of their husband. And there's women who don't want to do that. But I just think that they're the women that leave the house and work or do other things are the reason for the demise of marriage. I think it's a two-way street.
Here's if a woman goes out and she works and she's still feminine and comes home and has her feminine energy, the man has the masculine energy, fine. But what's happening is these women go out there, they're getting fucking brainwashed by all these radical feminist movement, and they're becoming these radical feminists and man-hating bitches. And that's what's happening out there in the workplace. And then God forbid a woman starts making more than the husband out there, then he starts feeling like shit because she's bringing on more bacon and the roles are reversed. She's more the masculine role. He's more the feminine role. And it's kind of one of those things where those roles reverse and the sexuality just goes away because neither one, she resents him for not making enough money and he resents her for not giving him any pussy.
Well,
maybe he should work a little harder.
I mean, look, Jamie,
you know,
Jamie has,
maybe he shouldn't be such a pussy and he should go out and work a little harder. Find two jobs, make it happen.
you guys have a very skewed perspective.
Look, the bottom line is I still got issues with it because look, women, it's harder to take care of kids than they'd rather get a job and have a nanny do it. Okay. Then stay home and raise your kids.
Lenny, how did that work out for you?
Well, that's what's happening to our kids nowadays, too, because now both parents are working and we're having these fucking kids out of college that are already trophy generation fuckers anyway, that are raising your kids that are just basically on the cell phone the whole time, not engaging with them and letting them do whatever they want. So we're making these kids even worse. It's just a bunch of entitled little brats. And
yeah, lucky Sperm Club members, you know?
Yeah, so we don't have real parents raising your children anymore, and it's getting out of control.
Let me go a little bit off topic for a second. Steroids. Aubrey, you ever do steroids while you were a baseball player?
I did. I did steroids in 2000. What was it? 2004, I believe, or five. One of those years. And I didn't necessarily. Everybody was doing it, right? And so I'm like, you know what? Fuck, man. I just came off a year where I was. I think I hit 2003. I hit with a raise like 311. I had 34 bombs and 107 ribbies. Like, fucking unbelievable year. And, you know, that would have been the '80s. In the '80s, I'm an MVP leading the league in homers.
Yeah, right.
Now this guy's dropping 50, 60 bombs and I'm a fucking nobody.
Oh,
so I'm thinking to myself, well, fuck, I gotta even this out. So I tried it for an offseason, came back and I started off the worst year I ever had. I don't necessarily feel like it made me stronger. It just made me recover better.
Right.
What was it like to take steroids? I mean, what was different?
Lenny, hey, we got to get that as a soundbite. Lenny asking Aubrey, what is it like to take steroids?
Yeah, that's great.
I'm the fucking founder of those motherfuckers. That's why.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a curve. You think Bonds? How do you think Bonds learned how to take them? Me?
Do you think like they probably had designer steroids with like Lenny's picture on it? It was like no, seriously, Aubrey. You were saying that you're saying it wasn't performance. You didn't feel the performance.
Yeah, I got to tell you, in the offseason, I did get stronger. I got I saw a six pack for the first time in my life, but is that because I was taking them and I was in the weight room more? I mean, to me, I was grinding in the weight room more than I ever did take them because I was like, all right, I'm gonna go and juice now. I gotta get big. Now, could I have done that if without the stories, if I really dedicated myself in the weight room? I don't know, but I did feel
probably
my body felt a lot more lubricated. I felt like my joints didn't hurt as much. But the thing was, I got into the season 2004 and I just had the worst start of my career, and I think a lot of that for me was kind of this guilt factor I had knowing that I had cheated myself. And then I finally, towards like 2 months in, I said, fuck it, and just started raking again.
Yeah,
I walked in
when I did mine, I felt like I walked in the clubhouse, I had a 15-inch cock, and I said, hey, new sheriff in town, motherfucker.
Well, that's what
fucking Hammond either.
That's how I felt on Adderall from 2009 to 11. I mean, I felt like I was fucking Superman. Nobody could beat me.
Yeah. I still feel that way, you know? but that's just how I roll, you know. But anyway, listen. The bottom line is, Aubrey, though, one of the things, correct me if I'm wrong, is you kind of like you're spiritual now, correct?
Yeah, I'm a believer in God, and I always have been. You get derailed from time to time. I get a lot of brushback on social media and shit, and on my profile, I'm like, I love God and country, and people are like, but you talk the way you do. I'm like, well, fuck you, man. Listen. At the end of the day, I believe like in the Bible, Jesus called the fucking Pharisees brood of vipers. We don't use brood of vipers these days. You know what brood of vipers meant back in the day? Basically, motherfuckers. So, I mean, if you were the one to say it, I think Jesus was cussing back in the day. Right?
Well, but do you really believe Jesus was born without getting fucked, though?
Yeah. As a Christian, I do. I do. Everything in the Bible, I take literally.
It just sounds like it's just a better story. It sells better. But the bottom line is, who knows?
Wait, let's go. Hold on a second. Bible's great, guys. I really love it. But this is a controversial sports-related show with like a sports theme. So maybe we could just 2 seconds, just get a little bit of finish this stuff up. So how many years did you play in the majors, Aubrey?
13 years.
Lucky number 13. Now, towards the end of it, you never thought that for the recovery factor to try the steroids for the recovery aspect of it? Because it sounds like
that's... end of my career, I was on Adderall. You didn't need it. That's just,
is that what it was?
It was fucking unbelievable. It just made you feel like Superman. And then 2012, that's when I was fucking losing my job to Brandon Belt.
That's how it was.
It just kind of went out in the sunset from there. But yeah, I mean, it was that Adderall shit, man. It just turns you. It was like that movie with Bradley Cooper and Invincible. Not Invincible.
Right.
Limitless.
Yeah, Invincible.
Oh, Limitless.
I mean, holy Limitless. God. Yeah, the special pill.
I'm still searching for that pill.
Just to basically summarize the whole thing about this, Lenny and I, we like to talk about the Major League Baseball pension and the insurance and everything. Are you happy with the pension that you were able to get? Are you happy with the system? What are your thoughts about that?
I haven't had my pension kick in yet. I haven't needed to. I got about a net worth of $26 million right now. And I was one of those smart motherfuckers. They got a prenuptial agreement, so she didn't take half my money.
Oh, that's nice.
So I'm single. I'm single, hot, rich, and loaded. So we're good to go.
I love this guy. Man,
that's great.
Tried to do it after I signed my contract. So I got all my lawyers together. My wife's from Mississippi. And so I had a whole system set up. And I was going to do a postnuptial agreement. And my whole story was, in case I die, I just want to make sure the money goes to the kids. And my wife stood up. I may be from Mississippi, but that sounds like a prenuptial agreement to me. And she walked the fuck out of
it. Wow.
See, I wouldn't have fell for that one.
What about Aubrey? What are your plans? What is your goals as far as post-career? You're still a very young guy. Do you want to coach? Do you want to have?
No,
do you want to be the next Joe Rogan?
Nothing to do with baseball anymore. It's too young to me. It's too technology. The spin rate and fucking war and all this shit. I don't even know what that means.
That's why all the managers are push button and everything. It's all
crazy. Right. I would never fit into the game today. But yeah, Lenny and I are pretty outspoken guys, and I've messed around with podcasting work. And God forbid, there's no fucking way I could do a 9-to-5 job. It's just not my style. So, I'm pretty, I'm looking to get into radio. I've got some calls in and stuff like that.
You got a good voice, dude. You talk good.
Oh, that's shit, man. You should hear me get some beers in me and get behind the karaoke thing. I do a mean George Strait.
Yeah, I got my teeth, bro. I got my teeth. I'm a little more clear, but, it's still a little hard to hear me.
I tell you, if you get me to a karaoke bar, panties get wet, brother. I'm telling you.
Oh, really, dude? Yeah, I know that. What are you, like 6'4"? You're fucking
6'4", and
you're still getting a lot of pussy at will. I bet if you want.
Little salty in the beard. It's it's very refined, and
I would just stand by you and take like I did with Billy Bean. He's the general manager of Oakland. He was 6'4", right out of San Diego. All his leftovers, I would just take because I could sell fucking dreams, bro. You know that.
Well, you've been out with Pat Burrell, I'm sure. Holy fuck. I've been with that guy since college, and when he was in his heyday, my God, there was nobody better. He didn't even say anything. Just stood there.
He did. Burrell was better. And he's fucking too. Every one of them. And he put no coat either. No coat. He's going in without Jamie. You know what that means? No coat.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
oh,
I know what it means.
Jamie, what is it? What is it? What does no coat mean, Jamie? What does it mean?
To ride bareback.
Oh, no. Ew. I don't think that's the word to use. Never mind. So I think, Aubrey, how did you end up in San Diego?
When I retired, I was married and had two boys. And, we had just sold our house in Tampa. And we didn't, so we're kind of renting in Arizona. And, I was kind of wanting to live in Arizona or somewhere nice. I didn't really give a shit because I was retiring, and I'm like, whatever you want to do, babe, where do you want to end up? And she says, I always like San Diego. I'm like, fuck yeah, I like San Diego. Let's go. So we just moved here. We really
best had no weather in the country. Best weather in the country.
It is. It's just if I realized how liberal it was. I mean, when I was playing baseball, I really didn't pay attention to a lot of that shit because I was just playing baseball. I didn't give a fuck who was president. I didn't give a shit about politics. And then you get out of it and you kind of, you know, you get bored, you start researching this shit and you realize, man, there really is a fucking right and a left, and the politics shit's crazy, man. And
yeah,
it's rough, the way it is in California.
So you're a big proponent of gun rights. Is that correct?
Absolutely. 1000%. And you know how hard it is to get an open carry here in fucking California. Gosh damn it.
Borderline impossible. We're in a high security business. You know, we have a bunch of pawn shops here, so we're very familiar with that type of aspect and the criminal aspect and everything like that. I know that you've been.
You see that fucking knife collection, Dan's got. It's fucking crazy. Dude.
I think that the like Lenny likes to say, Lenny's got this phrase, the bottom line. He just keeps saying it all. The bottom line is, what is your you know, you have two boys. I have two boys. A lot of these fans out there have children. What is your thoughts on where the society is going, and as far as, you know, where would you like to see things go?
Well, you know, the gun. I'm going to tell you this: if they ever try to take away the Second Amendment, it'd be a full on fucking war in the world. There's just no way. I know too many people in Texas that they would rather die than give up their guns, right? You know, unfortunately, you know, like we were talking earlier, we don't want to go into religion, but it's only going to get worse before it gets better, in my belief. And I believe that we're living in a time where you're seeing a lot of what's transpiring now that you read about in the Bible and Revelation and shit. And that's where I'm at. Right. We're living in a time where we're so divided and you know, you got all kinds of shit going on, you know, wars and, you know, all these things. And, you know, you'd be an idiot, I think, if you're a father and you don't teach your kids how to operate a gun or use a gun with where this world is going, you're a fucking lunatic in my mind. So when I tweeted that out and people are like, oh, way to raise up future school shooters, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm just teaching my kids how to protect themselves and operate a gun safely. So when they do have one in their hands, they don't fucking kill themselves. You know what I mean? Like, it's to me, it's responsible parenting. And it's just, we live in backwards world. It's crazy to me. I just don't understand it.
I think a lot of the perspective as to why a lot of people were outraged is because people find that celebrities or people who have a very strong voice should have an X voice. And a lot of that is because of what you said. You said the liberal media and things like that. Like I said in the start of the show, I don't necessarily agree with everything you say, but the whole point of this show is that people like you, like Lenny, like me, like Jamie, we should have a voice to be able to say it. What exactly?
I agree with every fucking thing he says.
Yeah, I think there is. Jamie, what do you think? You're being very quiet.
No, I agree with you.
You agree with me or with Aubrey?
No, I agree with you that everyone should have their voice. I think that.
But why, you know, Aubrey? Do you feel that because of your? I don't want to use the word extreme, because in this world, I think it's a pretty normal viewpoint that you're having. Do you feel that that's affected your career? Do you see things, your doors closing because of this, or on the contrary?
I haven't really tried to go out there and get like a normal, regular job, but I can pretty much damn well guarantee you if I did and they looked at my social media, there's no fucking way in hell they'd hire me. No way.
And why do you think that is? Why do you
just
think that is?
Just the controversy and the way the world is nowadays, nobody wants a part of it. And that's the thing, you know, I'm all about everybody having their opinions, the free speech, the whole deal. But when you try to silence that free speech just because you don't believe with what other people believe in, then you got a problem. And that's the world we live in today. People can't even get jobs because of their political beliefs. It's mostly because of conservative beliefs.
And the person hiring you probably is going to go home and listen to what you say and agree with you, even though they can't hire you.
Well, I don't know about that. But you're saying that you feel that you're going to be ostracized for your views in the future.
I think really the only way, I mean, people don't really look at resumes anymore. I don't believe they're looking at their social media, just like in sports. These young kids using Twitter and they're coming out of college. These organizations are looking at their Twitter. Holy fuck, these guys are crazy. Yeah, it's becoming a vetting system for.
Well, I mean, look at this. I can't even go back to Philadelphia, Philly Stadium. And won't let me. They won't even put me back there. And then because I got this big organization called the federal government pissed off at me and they put me in their fucking cage for a couple of years.
Right.
But see, that's not the real reason. The real reason is I actually fucked one of the owner's daughters. Okay. and so I'm just putting it out there.
Like, where's he
so
going?
I know. Who's it? Jeffrey Lurie? Okay. Who owns the Phillies?
It was back when they had like five owners and like, hey, she took advantage of me. So you know what? So don't blame the Phillies. Blame me.
She got you drunk. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and like I said, you know, and everyone knew it too. And so don't blame the Phillies, blame Nails, because Nails on the rails took on the owner's daughter. Okay?
The owner's daughter. So Lenny, Lenny's had many, many of these conquests. And no, I just Lenny, is there anything else you wanted to ask Aubrey before you know we wrap it up?
No, what I just want to tell Aubrey that fucking like I respect and first of all as a player how what he did, number one, number two, the fact that he has the balls and he has the ability to, especially, I mean, he's way more educated and speaks way more intelligently than me, but we're on the same page on how we think. And it's all about just having the ability to be honest. If you can't be honest because you're afraid, and it's all about fear. Fear does
Lenny,
a lot to
he,
him, okay?
He's telling you that he's been able to overcome anxiety because he finally is able to be honest. That I think that this is like a, right, Aubrey? Isn't this like a big
Dude,
part
I,
of
I,
your
I
mental
can
state?
I honestly say myself 5 or 6 years of going to therapy school and just be a therapist and tell people, you know what, you want to get rid of this shit? Tell me how you really feel. You know what I mean? Yeah, don't sugarcoat shit. Go out there and tell people to their face. Don't text them. Pick up the fucking phone and say what you really want to say.
And that's what I do, and that's why people don't like me. A lot
that's
of people
exactly
don't like
right.
me for being honest. So what?
And that's
fuck
okay.
Me.
Fuck them. Yeah. That's right.
That's right.
That all came together nicely.
That's it. And that's okay.
And there we go.
There we go. And that's the show. All right, guys. Well, Aubrey.
Aubrey, awesome, man. You're awesome, brother.
All right, Lenny. Great hearing from you, buddy. Hey, great talking to all you guys. That was fun.
All right, Aubrey. Definitely.
Thank you,
we'll
Aubrey.
Definitely talk again. Take care,
you
buddy.
You got it.
Take care,
bud. Bye-bye.